Welcome to Sweeping the Country. I'm Derek Walker, your host, my co-host, Mr. Jimmy Carter. Hey, Jimmy.
Hello on this weekend of romance.
Thanks weekend. For reminding me. I appreciate that. I forgot
NASCAR
all about that.
NASCAR weekend with the Daytona 500 that is their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We're still talking about the Super Bowl.
What
You've
Super
got a
Bowl?
3-day weekend this weekend because it's President's Weekend. So you're not going to get any mail next Monday if you were thinking about that.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, just a lot going on. You know, February, this Elvis movie comes out this month at some point toward the end of the month.
Who is playing Elvis in that?
No, it's Elvis. What it is they found 65 hours or something like that.
Of unshown footage? 65
reels.
Yeah.
Of down in a salt mine in Kansas in the MGM archives. Some of it was 35 millimeters. Some of it was 16 millimeter.
Wow.
And then they had some home movies at Graceland and some other stuff.
Ooh.
And they took this to Peter Jackson there in New Zealand that cleaned up all the Beatle footage.
Yeah.
For the current anthology and for the Get Back movie that looks so unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that he cleaned it all up. And now it looks like it was just shot on 4K today. And it's Elvis in Las Vegas and it's Elvis in rehearsal. And it's like you've never seen him. It's Elvis, you know, kind of behind the scenes Elvis.
Wow.
And it's real charming and supposed to be great.
I would watch that. I didn't even hear about that.
And it's in IMAX, I add.
Wow.
And they've done something with the music too. So I will go to the theater in IMAX and see that.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like
it's going to be like, you know, wow, being there. Because I saw him in person. And I, you know, saw him up close.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see him in IMAX up there and hear that. So
I bet you the soundtrack's going to be good too because they cleaned that up too, right?
I imagine they did, and I think they have over the years cleaned it up a few times.
Yeah,
but now they've got so much amazing equipment that can do things. I'm seeing things like I saw a colorized version this week was the 62nd anniversary of the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. And that was in black and white. We didn't have color TV yet.
So that's
interesting. Well, somebody has colorized it, and it looks beautiful. And I've seen a couple of stills over the years that some people shot in color film of that night, and mostly in black and white, but one or two in color. And it's just a whole nother world when it's colorized.
Oh, that's great.
And so someone colorized it, and it's looks like it's supposed to be that way. I mean, used to be when they colorized a film, it looked shitty, to say the least.
I agree. It was terrible. And I don't mean to knock the movie because it was really good. I enjoyed watching it. There was a movie about World War I that they colorized. I don't know if you remember that.
Something. It was just something.
And it was just hard. Yeah, it was hard
to
watch.
The technology now is pretty daggum amazing.
It is. It's crazy.
It really is.
It's crazy.
You know, that part of technology is a positive thing. And this AI stuff, I'm running into people, friends all over the world that are doing stories in this country of all these data. Everywhere I turn, I know somebody that knows something going on with one of those data warehouses or whatever
data
it is.
Data center, yeah.
Data center that's going up in their town or near their town.
Yeah, we got one.
Or trying to buy property from them to put the data center on. And it's all kinds of people. It's Meta, it's Google, it's a bunch of others.
Well, we
and
have
people
one.
Don't want it in their neighborhood because it hums.
We have one in just outside of Boise, and we also have one of the largest expansion chip manufacturers in the country, Micron, right outside of Boise as well.
Do you know if anybody complains about the data center?
I haven't heard. The one data center that I'm thinking of is Meta, and it's in a city called Kuna, K-U-N-A, and it's probably pretty far away from most people. So I don't think it's, you know, neighborhood, you know.
In one of these, I know, but all these are kind of out in the country.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they're doing that.
I don't either.
Maybe because the land is cheaper or whatever.
It is cheaper, and they need water, and they need power.
They do need water now. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And some people are fussing because they think it's going to heat up the water, you know, going into the streams or something wherever they are.
The water table, yes. Yeah. I looked into some of that.
I think they're recycling their water.
They are. I looked into that because the usage is incredible, the amount of gallons that they use for processing and cooling. But they do run it back through, so it's not like they're just sucking it out and throwing it into the air, you know.
And then the power they use, I think, is pretty hot.
Yeah,
and,
it's also a big deal.
The problem with that, and power bills are going up in some areas because of data centers, and they say they're paying for something, but no, they're not, because the power company has not increased their generation.
Yeah, you get these stories.
They're just having to do more power.
Yeah, you get these stories that pop up, and people just panic. Large data centers can consume up to 5 million gallons a day. So what that means is it's equivalent to a small town. So 10,000 to 50,000 people. It's using the same amount of water as 50,000 people. So that's a lot. That's a lot.
And all that for us to be able to see fake news and memes.
You know, you just said something that hit me right between the eyes, and my wife and I were just talking about it. I think you said this, and I can't remember if it was in a private conversation or during the podcast, but you said something a while back, and it really hit home. And we were talking, my wife and I were just talking about it the other day. At some point, and what point that is, I don't know, maybe you know, I'm going to turn it all off because there's no value in it for me anymore.
Right, because it's all, you don't know what you can trust. And even people who are pros fall for it.
Yep.
I don't trust anything on first glance. Mm-hmm. I've had several people this week, and the worst cases, I think, are when people say people have died.
Yeah, because
that seems to generate a lot of clicks mm-hmm. from people that put that up there, and it's false. So I've had to, you know, climb people down from the ceiling on a few people.
Well, I remember Dolly Parton was one of them.
Oh, they do Dolly, and they do Ronnie Dunn, and they do all kinds.
Any big name.
It just is so irritating. And let's go ahead and get into it, too. And that's this Nancy, you know, Savannah's mama that was kidnapped.
Still missing.
And today they revealed a video and some stills, but it was stills taken from a video, FBI. On this it's at least a kidnapper, mm-hmm. if not the kidnapper.
Yeah. I watched it. And
first of all, when you look at that, that is just not an off the shelf covering of his head. No. That is not a place I've ever seen anyone carry a gun mm-hmm. that was a pro. Or even people that weren't a pro. I've never seen him stick it there.
I saw
where he could get to it.
Yeah, I saw
and
analysis.
He's right-handed.
Yep. That's amazing. They were talking about that, but the reason they were saying he had the gun in the front over basically down the middle where his zipper would be was because he had that backpack on, and if he put it anywhere else, he couldn't reach it in a quick hurry, right?
Well, he sure couldn't. Yeah, he couldn't have it on the side like a Western.
Yeah, or in the back.
He has the backpack on it. What's the backpack?
What's in it? What's he doing with it? Yeah, I don't know.
It has to be for him to carry out things from the house, which we've never been told. If there were jewels and diamond rings and stuff like that there.
Right.
It would also be to have tape and possibly a bag to put her in or something like
what
that.
What the heck? It's weird. It's weird.
And also, this is it's more stinking than it's – I don't believe that Bitcoin ransom thing was ever real.
I agree.
I don't think it was ever real. Mm-hmm. I think that a real kidnapper – if they were doing it for money, would have left a ransom note on property and would have not depended on some email device through a server through this going around the world to TMZ and a local TV station for my kidnapping. Because you have no idea that these people are ever going to get anything. And that just sounds willy-nilly to me. So I never believed it was for real. They never had a proof of life, so they just kind of went away. And hopefully, they probably hope they're hiding. Mm-hmm. All this. It's also weird that you've had now. People say, "What took them so long?" Because they must have had this Nest system mm-hmm. or Google Nest, and I have one in my thermostat that I hate because we don't pay for it, mm-hmm. but it still works up there, and I hate it. I hate that Nest thing. I just don't like somebody. It's just a weird deal. But they must have let the subscription run out. And she didn't want it anymore, didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
But I have one in the backyard. It's from this Birdify or whatever like that. Yeah. Someone, Ted, gave me. And I stopped paying the prescription. It was $10 or $11 a month. And I wasn't getting much action on it where it was.
Yeah.
So I let it just kind of die. But it's still there telling me to do something every time I walk by it.
Yeah.
It activates.
Yeah.
So it's still taking pictures. And it's going to a server somewhere, but I don't have access to it because I'm not paying.
Isn't that weird?
It's still taking pictures. So this camera that she had was still taking pictures, but she had no ability to access it or see it because the subscription wall was up. But it was still taking pictures and still transmitting back to headquarters.
So they got them eventually.
But they had it, but since it wasn't an active prescription, a subscription, they couldn't just call that up. So they had to, it wherever that dead file is, you know, because the internet lasts forever.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, it's still there.
Which is scary.
No matter how you erase it. Who is that? Hello.
Uh-oh. Telephone. It's the bat phone.
No. I don't.
Is it the bat
phone? I had it cut on. It's not supposed to ring. It's an outgoing line only.
But
so
anyway, yes.
Yeah,
so
have the ringer on.
So her subscription was up, so the footage was there. They just couldn't access
it. So the footage was there, but they had to go look for it.
Yeah.
Like in a trash file or a cache file.
Archive,
or
one of those, maybe, yeah.
Some kind of weird that they didn't even want to archive. It's just there.
Yeah.
And so they had to dig it, and they might have been able to empty the trash after some, once a year, or who knows what. But it goes into one of those big servers, like the data server we talked about.
Which, by the way, is really interesting. It's almost like that aspect that you just mentioned, and this is off subject a little bit, but is like a landfill. Why are we saving all that? But in this case, it's good that we did, but, you know.
Because there's no reason for them to create something to stop saving it. It's just out there, you know, because the internet is infinity. So I guess they can just load it up to infinity until it's clogging up something. But on something like that, I don't think it's clogging up anything. So weird story. And it's so sad. I mean.
Yeah, it is. It is sad.
She is never. Nobody in that family is ever going to be right if they don't find the body or something with this woman. But again, there had to be a motivation. Someone just didn't go over in the middle of the night. Maybe they did go to just rob her, but they were just beat her on the
head.
Yeah. And put her in a closet, you know, and robbed and left.
Yeah.
Why did you take her? You know, for what purpose? So are you doing it out of, it's got to be that someone profits from her death and they didn't want to kill her there and they wanted to get her out of there, then let her die somewhere. And then when the estate liquefies, they may have gotten the money. That's why they're still looking at the family.
Yeah. And you have to, right? I mean, you got to.
You got to. Yeah. You got to. And to see if there was any money problems or, you know, what is the estate going to be worth? Obviously, it's over $1 million because the house is worth $1 million.
Yeah, it's a beautiful home. Yeah.
I presume it's paid for because I think Savannah went there when she was in high school or something. So, I mean, I'm sure the house is paid for. Anyway, so they're looking at that. Now, is somebody mad at this? Looked professional to me.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
This is not somebody's first burglary or first break in. I just don't think it is.
Yeah, I
agree. They're going there trying to disconnect the camera, you know, and they're in there all dressed up for this. That's not your first Halloween.
No.
You know,
no,
you've done this
not.
Somewhere else. And so there's got to be a picture or an MO. Or something out there that some police, that somebody that's in the world of cops saw today and said, ooh, that looks like the one we had in Troy, Alabama, and blah, blah, blah. So hopefully that'll get some people going.
You said something that was really fascinating to me, and I saw how he was carrying the gun, but I didn't hear any of the information about it. But when you said they could tell that he or she, it looks like a he to me, but I don't know.
It does, me too.
Was right-handed because of the way that the gun was set up in the thing. You know, those are things I don't think of. I don't, obviously, trained eye, you think of it, but I don't. And I thought, wow, that's how they're picking
this apart.
Well,
there's a couple of things there. Number one, the outfit. I'm sure they're really scrutinizing. That outfit was strange. I'm not exactly sure
what it was.
Why would they
have a reflective backpack on? Did you see the straps had reflectors?
I'm sure they know who made that backpack.
Right.
I'm sure they're going through the sales of every backpack that's been bought. It just takes time.
Yeah.
You know, for these computers, AI and supercomputers to go through these things. I'm sure they're going through every sporting, anybody who sells that product.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what they're good at. You know, they're good at doing tire traces, like what kind of tread was a, you know, this is a BF Goodrich, blah, 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 blah. They know all that. And I'm sure they can figure it out with that backpack. I'm sure that gun has probably been brought up larger and magnified.
They know exactly what it is. Yeah.
So they know what it was. It looks like a small caliber gun to me.
Yeah, me too.
It didn't look like it was a, you know, it looked like it was, it almost looked like a, you know, a 22 or something. Yeah.
I thought it looked like a Ruger, like a Ruger.
Just on
22.
First glance, it looked weird. Yeah. It looked like a strange gun. So I'm sure they know a lot about that now. Mm-hmm. And even the holster that it was in.
Yeah.
The backpack probably is the biggest giveaway, because that would strike me as being something this burglar might have just purchased. So that would be one place I would be emphasizing. The cap, the thing with the eyes cut out.
Yeah.
I just can't go down to the store to buy that. I don't know where you buy something like that, but I don't think it's everywhere. And I don't think that person made it.
So, yeah, it's got to be like a ski shop or some kind of cold weather shop.
Do they sell that in ski shops?
Yeah, I think they still do. Yeah, they sell variations
of it. Eyes, nose, or whatever.
I haven't seen that for a while. I've seen more of a neoprene that comes up to here and Velcro. So maybe not. But it would have to be a specialty store like that.
See, I'm sure they know who does that, where it comes from. So they got a lot of clues from that to run with. Why they haven't found a car?
Yeah, there was no car.
I understand that there's I've just kind of stayed away from this story a little bit this week, but I understand, and I wasn't sure there were, but I'm told in the intersections, almost all of them have cameras.
Yeah.
Now, I don't doubt they have traffic cameras, but I don't think they have license plate reader cameras.
Interesting.
And I think some people don't know the difference. And those cameras that are, if they're more than a couple of years old, are not high definition.
Yeah.
If they're just traffic cameras and been there a little while, they take a fine picture on a wide shot, but you can't zoom down in there and do much.
Yeah.
Now, the newer ones you can. The newer ones are more high def, and they can do some stuff with them. But I don't know, why something hasn't come up, with everybody looking.
What about some of the neighbors had reported a white van in the neighborhood at some point, but I never heard any more about it.
You think about it. I mean, number one, is it going to have an Arizona plate?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that when they left there at 2:30 in the morning, the cops really weren't called and had any idea of what was going on till about 2:30 in the afternoon.
Really?
So that's 12 hours.
Yeah.
I think they were called at noon. And by the time they got out there and determined it wasn't just some old woman that's walked off, the signs of a struggle or something like that. Because, again, we haven't been told any of this stuff.
No.
They had 12-hour head start.
Mm-hmm.
A 12-hour head start from Tucson is Los Angeles, San Diego, Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Houston is, I think, 13 hours from El Paso. So probably San Antonio, at least anyway.
Yeah.
And, maybe Tulsa. I mean,
Could you get into Mexico?
Yes. But if you were ever going to bring the woman back, first of all, it would be, the Mexican border guards, they know everybody that's gone to Mexico. And I think they have license plate readers, even on things leaving. But most likely, because they could have made it to Nogales, Mexico, and further down, obviously, just an hour's drive to the border.
Yeah, yeah.
But coming in the middle of the night, you sure would have been obvious.
Yeah, that's true. That is
true. And so I don't think that occurred. Even if no one was looking, there can't be that many people in the middle of the night going through there. And if it was, it couldn't be more than a few.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's a big border crossing for vegetables and stuff like that coming from Mexico.
Okay.
Mm. It's a real big entry point to the United States to get on I-10 to go on to California or to wherever. But that's a big entry point for fruits and vegetables from the interior of Mexico.
Interesting.
So there's just so many places where that woman could have gone. And it's just maybe it was a revenge thing,
Yeah, I've been racking my brain trying to think, because it sure seems odd that they would target her. I tried to think.
Did I tell you last week that someone said on a talk show?
Yeah.
They blame Trump
for that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Maybe that's happened in the last week.
Enough.
Someone said that Savannah did a rough interview with him.
Yeah.
Back in over the years, and they're getting back at her through this. So it's
for
the end
an
of the
interview.
Day,
oh gosh,
this guy said, you know, I'm telling you, behind this, it wouldn't shock me if it was Donald John Trump. You know, very angry somebody with Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, the Super Bowl halftime. Boy, there's been a lot of division.
I knew you were going there.
A lot of division online about that. You know, I muted it, but I watched it.
I watched both, yeah.
I don't speak Spanish. I don't understand it. So it wasn't any point me having it on. But I watched it, and it was very colorful. And I know that a lot of the dancers were thrusting a lot. But that doesn't seem to be very unusual.
That happens all the time.
That language and that dance, I'm always seeing that going on. Mm-hmm. I noticed that Gaga was there, and I recognized Ricky Martin.
Yeah.
And there were a couple other famous faces that were in part of that. So, and I saw a bunch of flags, and then I saw the lineman part. Didn't understand what that was. And then I found out later on that if it's true, and again, I don't believe anything I read anymore.
Yeah, well.
And I haven't gone through this enough to research. I mean, I feel like it's probably true. Some people have gone through there and analyzed what he was singing about and what the lyrics were to the songs in English. Yeah. And they're not something that you can report on a family show.
Yeah, that's right.
Very sexual language. I mean, really crude, you know, when it's maybe it's better in Spanish, but it's you would never sing like that in anything I've ever heard in the English language.
My question is, if you took that and you translated it into English, would it be an FCC fine?
That part I don't know, because
okay.
I don't think he did any of the seven words you're not supposed to say.
I don't know. I don't even know.
Suggestive, you know, no F word or any of that. Mm-hmm. But in Spanish, I don't know. But is it suggestive and really just
disgusting
language?
Yeah.
And sometimes you used to have the family hour rules, but I don't think there was any. I don't know if there's some rule that you're not supposed to have adult, you know, rated R to X sounds. But the NFL ought to be spanked. You know, for having if he did that, and the NFL didn't catch it, they're idiots, and they ought to fire Jay-Z on the spot.
I would agree with
that. For putting that on there, because that's not family on any level. Mm-hmm. And I know that they're money hungry at the NFL, but they are the ones that ought to have, you know, the owners ought to raise up and raise hell about that.
Yeah.
It's all about money. It's all about money.
I mean, I remember going back to Janet Jackson. You remember that. And it was not, they say.
Well, that was a form of nudity, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they said it wasn't intentional, ridiculous. But it was a big deal. And for those.
Well, this was intentional. This was not.
That's true. That is true.
This was intentional. And if the NFL didn't ask for an English lyric sheet
before the performance,
then someone gets fired at the minimum.
Yeah,
you know that's the NFL liaison for this at minimum.
Yeah,
because I don't care how you stand on that. If you've got the largest audience in the world watching something, and you're trying to do it where everybody's family, and you're trying to say this is an American holiday, you know, and it should be a holiday the next day for us to get over the Super Bowl and all that business. I don't know. I mean, it just. I don't understand. I mean, unless it's just somebody that's just, okay, Bad Bunny Rabbit, you know, got a Grammy nomination. Let's go with him this year.
Could it be that simple? I mean.
It may be, because I don't know that Jay-Z speaks Spanish, and I don't know, you know, he's the producer of this thing and has been. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're hearing Kendrick Lamar and having all these folks in here. And that was a reaction by the NFL when they were accused of being racist somewhere during back in there.
Right.
And so that's when they hired Jay-Z, said, we'll wipe that out of the picture.
Easy.
So they hired Jay-Z, and he kept putting on Beyonce and Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd and all these people. And again, they're not going to do country. I mean, they had Brandi Carlile, but you know, she's Americana or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
They're not going to put Morgan Wallen on there, who once said the N-word, you know.
Oh, he's, yeah. No,
banned
no,
for
no,
life. No. I mean, he ain't going on the NFL. Again, a sports league that is predominantly black.
Now, let me ask you this.
You know, too.
You watched both of them. What'd you think of the Bobby Ritchie?
It was a pre-recorded, slick production, but the name value, you know, it wasn't the A-Team up there doing
that.
Including Kid Rock, you know. I mean, Kid Rock has his audience, but it wasn't, you know, the top. It wasn't Luke Combs or, you know, or Garth Brooks or anybody like that doing it. It was, you know, some songwriters, some people on the, you know, it was okay.
It was a good show. I mean, it was a good show.
I enjoyed it most of all. I mean, I liked Kid Rock's version of Till You Can't.
Mm-hmm.
But again, does that need to be running in Bolivia and all those places? No.
I mean, that was the Cody Johnson song, wasn't it?
Yes.
Originally?
And you know, and then it got number one on Spotify and iTunes the next day.
Yeah.
And again, you know, what's the NFL doing? You know, the NFL's doing what they want to do. They want to build market share
worldwide
in Spanish-speaking countries.
Worldwide.
And worldwide.
Yeah, of course.
In Germany and all those places. They're never going to beat soccer, so I'm sure their goal is not to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can get, you know, couple of more million people here and there and sell more t-shirts and things like that.
Right, right.
That's their goal. It's all about the dollars. It's not about, you know, anything else. It's all about the money.
I would venture to guess in the United States, football is saturated with fans, right? How many more fans?
I think all that they can get, they've got.
They've got, right. So now they have to branch out and go international, which is why they're playing, you know, 7 or 8 games this last year.
Yeah, more next year than this year.
Yeah, they just keep amping it up. And then it makes more sense to think about, okay, what was the halftime show about? And it's easy to say, oh, it was divisive and it was anti-American or whatever. You can say all those things, but really the bottom line might be that the NFL was trying to appeal to the world, and
that's the end of that. That's what they're doing.
Yeah,
and that's
pretty
what
simple.
They're doing.
Yeah,
and I mean that's absolutely what they're doing.
Sure,
but should they have put some standards on there?
About 100%.
Are there community standards and all that stuff? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it tells you a pretty good. It's a good reflection of what the NFL values are to me.
Money.
Yeah, that's
their
it.
Money.
Green.
And that's why
cash.
They're hijacking every city in the country that has a stadium that they can build even a bigger and bigger $2 and $3 billion stadiums.
Yeah, right.
That they put a little money in, but mostly, you know, it's usually over half taxpayer money.
How much does he make? How much
for something that's used this for a building that's used 15 times a year?
Yeah. Yeah. Not much.
And then thrown away after usually 10 or 12 years.
Yeah, that's true. They implode it. I was just looking to see how much he makes. Let's see. Roger Goodell. His income is
he gets lots of millions.
Nearly $128 million between 2019 and 2021. Career earnings should be, by 2027, $700 million.
Yeah.
His annual compensation is $63.9 million a year.
It's
holy cow. Yeah. Do whatever you want, I guess.
It's about the money. It's about growing the money. It's about growing the brand.
Yeah.
And he's doing his job.
Yeah.
I think that somebody just dropped the ball. You know, when they thought Bad Bunny Rabbit was going to be there, he probably said, okay, that sounds like a good act. He won a Grammy. Oh, good. And so somebody really high up didn't supervise this properly.
Mm-hmm.
They knew exactly what he was going to do, probably counseled him about not saying F word
things. Yeah.
You know, and I imagine, and I don't know at what consequences if he had, but I think he would have if he could have, and so I don't think he did. But I think the suggestive lyric part probably never came up in conversation. I think they were more worried about him.
A political, yeah, 100%. Okay.
Which they weren't going to allow.
This is interesting. You said basically follow the money. It's about the money. So Roger Goodell's compensation has increased from $6 million in 2007 reflecting the massive financial growth of the NFL during his tenure. So 100% is about that.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right on the
now,
money. Right.
Here's
on
the money. Here's a mysterious thing here that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And it goes along with some other things I've read recently, but we've not talked about it.
Yeah.
There is a dating recession now that we're coming up here on Valentine's Day.
Oh, no.
High school dating has fallen almost 50% since 1980.
Why?
In 2024, a mere 46% of high school seniors reported ever going out on dates.
What are they doing?
They just don't do it. They're not dating. That's why these men aren't marrying. you know, early and all that stuff.
Bizarre.
They're
just, yeah.
And then, you know, they're not, they're all they're doing is texting and all that stuff. Young, it's called, it's people are studying. I mean, someone said, no surprise, I went to dinner and a movie with my wife for the first time, and it's obscene how much that cost. How can a teenager afford nowadays?
Yeah, that's fair.
Things we took for granted 30 years ago and a part-time job. And the cost of dating is one issue mentioned in the new report about dating. 10% of the men are getting 90% of the women. Okay.
All right. Good
only
for them.
8% of the men under 30 hadn't had sex in a year. Today, 28%, it tripled. The sex recession is a crisis of masculine energy. Guys project defeat, wondering why they are alone.
Wow, that's fascinating.
A decline in high school dating for white kids is real and stark, backed by long-term data from the Monitoring the Future survey. In the 80s, nearly 90% of high school seniors reported having gone on a date at least once. By 2024, that figure had really dropped to, you know, in the 40%.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I look at my own kids, right? Who, my son's in his late 20s. And so, you know, college was the dating era for him. I don't think high school he did much. I mean, maybe.
Well, here's what it says. They are hooking up at parties. I know more than one teenage couple that refuse to call it dating. So they just go to, see, that's my whole theory has been, and I've told this to several people, that raising the children as my generation did was the, maybe there was a little bit before us, but these daycares, kindercare, and all these people came along.
Yeah.
And so you had women working, men working, children raised in daycare pretty much from their first year or even 6 months or even that before that.
I'm guilty of it all the way through. I did
so it. So these children that began their public interaction with people several months after they were born have been in a group setting their entire life. Everything they've done is in a group. They are not, and this has gone on for 40 years, at least 40 years.
So
that's why we have so much, when you see a lot of people of that generation that's now, you know, 35 to 45, they really enjoy doing things in a group. They like to have to go to with multiple couples. They like to do it. And they like to, the newer generation that's about 30 years old now and younger, they like to live in these large complexes that we almost call tenement houses.
Yeah.
Like Cabrini Green and places like that in Chicago.
Yeah, no, thank you. No.
And these are all young people now want to live in all these, I call them bird cages. Millennial bird cages, where they're all in there. They got a grocery store downstairs, like they're living in Brooklyn, when they're living in Missouri, and they've got all this stuff right there because they're in they party in a rec room. They go and have parties and don't have dates where it's individual people coming out. Here's one person writing: my 21-year-old daughter has never been on a date. She's attractive, smart, funny, but an introvert. They all are because all they're doing is texting. And they're not dating, and they're not teaching these kids how to be social. My 17-year-old son has also had no dates. He's also attractive, funny, very smart, lots of friends, just hasn't been attracted to anyone yet. It's weird to me, but from others, they say it's common.
Okay, so you just combine some things, and it's kind of interesting. When you look at our kids, I was probably raised in the home, but my kids were in daycare. So they have the group mindset and this and that. Then you combine it with the whole internet. I'll call it a crisis where they are texting and online and they don't go out, but they feel more comfortable in groups, but they don't go out. So then there's group chat. Then we have COVID. Then COVID comes along and COVID just says, hey, everybody stay home. Don't go anywhere. You can't do the things you love. Now everybody's uncomfortable. Everybody's uncomfortable. So how do they interact at all with one-on-one in a group or anyway?
I think they're trying now that they've realized this. And I don't know what they're doing about this. Someone pointed out the porn consumption of males in high school.
I mean,
there's always been the consumption of that product, whether parents knew about it or not.
Right,
probably didn't.
Right.
But now it's so easy, you know, that it's there. So I don't know if they're trying to police that a little bit more now. But, you know, in a world of screens, I think the screens are, you know, are starting to, the other side starting to win. Because I know a lot of, just had a conversation with family member today. And they know that, they know a lot of kids and their parents aren't letting them have screens, you know, not getting them phones in the first grade and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was a thing.
That's been stopped. You know, that's been put a break on that. Now, again, do they get it by the time they're in high school? Probably.
But,
listen to this. Okay. Possibly nobody wants to date a girl with blue-green hair and a bad attitude.
Well, I mean, maybe.
You know, and there could be some of that going on, too.
And guys, too, vice versa, whatever. But you know, it's interesting you say that, and I still go back to what we talked about at the very beginning, and that is, you know, at what point do we say, you know what, enough technology. Yes, it's great. We have to unplug. I know right now, I know there's places where you can go on vacation, and it's an unplugged vacation, and you basically dump your phone, you don't get online, you go for 2 weeks, and you just relax.
I can't do that, though. It would be stressful.
I think I could do it. I think I could do it easily.
I don't think I'd want to do it, but I mean,
I'm ready to do it right now.
I enjoy keeping up. I mean, I didn't watch news today, and then this, you know, for a little bit, then I finally found out they put the picture out of the kidnapper.
Yeah.
You know, and I wish I'd had it earlier and all that. Listen to this, boy. Listen to this person. Society can't engineer the equalization of genders and still expect pairing to continue. The bottom line is that women want men who are objectively superior to them. I don't know, but so the more equal the genders become, fewer men will be viewed as good options.
Well, less desirable, right? I mean, what?
The old, you know, thing. Women are dating and having sex as much as ever. They're just doing it with a dramatically smaller pool of men.
Interesting.
Whoa. High schoolers don't need to be dating. They need to be focused on learning. Oh, come on, folks. Yeah. I didn't date a lot in high school.
Oh, but in the summer, it seemed like I did.
Oh, I tried to. I mean, it just wasn't, you know.
I cared about it.
I went out with people. We had fun. We went to dances. You know, school had dances. And we went to some of those things. And I remember having a good time at some of them. I think I was more awkward my senior year than I was my junior year.
Man, Jimmy, I lived for it. There's only a couple things I wanted. And grades weren't of my concern. They were fine. I mean, I was AB student, but all I cared about was girls. I don't know what it was, but
age was this?
Probably eighth grade, seventh grade up.
Oh, that's like 10 or 11.
Junior high, maybe.
Well, I remember, I don't think junior high that I knew. I don't think.
Oh, I didn't know anything.
I might have read a National Geographic about as far as I ever got on that, but in high school, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely.
I mean, but hell, I was interested. That didn't mean I could do anything about
it. Well, that's also
true.
Until
I got a car and use of wheels, then my dating improved.
Yeah, once you got the car, you were that was lights out.
I was able to, even when I was 15 and I was driving without a full license, when it now can be told, I was able to go out with a few people. Some of the best memories I have are those, you know, those are really unfulfilled, but, you know, steaming up the car windows and going to the drive-in and doing all that. I just hope people are doing a little bit of that still.
Well, I just had this conversation with my son not too long ago, and I said, he goes, you know, Dad, he says, we're the first generation that's never unplugged. You know, we are on all the time. Our phones are with us. We're always accessible. We're always connected, right? He said, your generation wasn't. And I said, that's right. We used to be able to get in the car and there was no phone. And you could drive and nobody knew where you were. Nobody knew what you were doing, who you were with.
Well, that's true. They couldn't
None
be tracked.
That. None of that.
No, they definitely couldn't track me or the judge would have tracked me. Right. I'd have been tracked. I'd have been whacked after I was tracked.
Tracked and whacked.
Some of those. Wow. I mean, look, this is another person here. This is a guy. Dating has followed the decline in fashion and how teenagers dress these days. Back in the day, both boys and girls cared about their image. You know, they look nice.
Yeah.
Both of them. Nowadays, you go into a lot of high schools and teenagers are dressed like slobs and homeless people.
Okay.
They just don't care.
Wait a minute. Yes. Okay. I don't disagree with that. But also adults are dressed like that. It's
true.
Yeah, now,
but I mean, when you're in the dating world, you used to try
you
to look a little nicer.
Boost it up. Yeah.
You didn't look like hell. And some people usually cleaned up, to go on a date. You took a bath and, you wore something clean and you.
Yeah, combed your hair.
It smelled good, and you wore that bad Cologne.
Mm-hmm. And the pants.
You're wearing Cologne. Some people are wearing Cologne again.
I am. I still wear it. I still wear it.
You wear it?
Yeah, I wear it every day.
Old Spice, what do you wear?
I wear Polo Black and Giorgio Armani.
Afternoon in Provo or something like that.
That's right, Jimmy. And I still get the looks. I'm telling you. I walk down the street, people catch a whiff, and boom. Hey.
Well, I'm glad that they catch a whiff, but I wasn't sure it was the Cologne that you had there. Boy, I'm telling you. Teens have become personally socialized and isolated. Mm-hmm. Their day is packed between school sports, school clubs, outside sports, performance training. All they have to do is catch up on their devices, gaming, social media, and relax. They don't want to go out and meet girls.
I think that's a fact. Whoever said that.
I'm glad I don't live in that day, but anyway.
I don't think they know any better because they haven't had that ever. You know, it's like if they did, they would have loved it. I mean,
I'm 51 years old. This woman says where I work has a department that is mostly high school and college age employees. It seems as though none of them flirt with each other or otherwise are interested in relationships.
Well, you can't do that at work anymore. You get sued. Oh,
how did everybody meet their wife or girlfriend? It was at school or work.
Yeah, it's true. But
and
I mean,
that's the only place you meet anybody.
If you say the wrong thing to someone, you're in trouble.
Well, now they've scared everybody to death on that, too.
That's right. Yeah, that's
right. I mean.
Yeah, fascinating.
But anyway, it's a whole subject that is just,
it's legit. I mean, it's something that's real. There's no question about that. I mean, we're seeing it in the birth rate even. That's dropped significantly.
Yeah.
You know, so getting married and doing the, the family thing, I don't know. I don't know what generation that really hit the brakes in, but it's definitely slowed down.
I mean, some people just say, put your heads down and focus. Well, screw off. I mean, life's about more than news, weather, and sports.
Yeah.
And it's, you just can't work. No one's ever going to be on their last breath and say, boy, I wish I could have gone to work today.
Right. Worked more. I wanted to work.
No, it's
going to
be,
more.
I wish I could have seen my family or I wish I had done this or something like that. So before they bury you, you would like to try to say, I did some of that. I did that. And and you got to make yourself get off the work train sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it costs you money, to not work. But, you have to make that. It said, do I want to get a little more money here or do I want to go do this on time that I can't come back?
Because
you just don't know. I lost a friend of mine. I hadn't seen him in 10 or 15 years, but back when I was actively, doing more work and everything back in the early 2000s or certainly in the 90s and 80s and even 70s, I knew this guy. And, and he passed away and you just don't know, when your time is up.
No,
and
you're
retired
right.
At 65. I admire him for this because he was the hardest working guy I've ever known in broadcasting. Mm-hmm. He retired at 65. He wrote books and stuff afterwards, but he retired to the beach, to Pensacola from Atlanta. And he had 18 years before he died. So he had a long retirement where he was able to, stop and smell the roses a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And still do some book writing and do some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he was working in some way, but he wasn't there doing, the work until 11 o'clock at night, anchoring news and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, my old partner, Jeff, who passed away in 2025, on the flip side of what you just described, he retired and I imagine within 1 to 2 weeks, he was gone.
Look at Bear Bryant. He retired and he was gone.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know.
Literally weeks after that.
You don't know. But there's nobody that dies that says, man, I wish I would have put in more hours at work. I promise you, if we could wake them up from the dead, they would not say that. They would all say more time with family, more time off, more time doing the things I love.
This guy
this guy,
I understand what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand what he's saying. Listen to this.
Go.
I don't think high schoolers should date, but here comes the but. I also think it's a bad sign they don't want to.
Yeah, that's it. 100%.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. I think it's a horrible sign. I think.
I mean, you've got to learn how to socialize with people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just in general, I think it's just being well-rounded. I mean, here's somebody else. Let's see who. I don't know if it's a guy or a girl doing this. Men have been repulsed by women's behavior with dating. That happened for years. Now they become indifferent. Men just don't care at all about women. Well done. Oh, my God. No, that's not how the world works.
But listen to the variety of what you just read.
I know it. Men need to work harder and pay more taxes because otherwise who will pay for what the women want for free? Woo! There's a lot of anger about that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, there are. Definitely.
And it's just, you know, it's just like we have anger and everything. People are angry about the relationship of men and women. People are angry about politics. People are angry about Bad Bunny Rabbit and and the Turning Point thing. And they're just, there's so much. I'm sure people get mad at whatever we've said today.
I hope but, not. I mean, I hope
here's
not.
Another one. Now, this is something true. And we got to stop for another week.
Yeah.
But here's one other person said, the massive rise of online gaming is a huge factor in this also. The dopamine men get playing games is enough to dissuade them from seeking it from women.
Whoa,
most young guys I know play at least 15 to 20 hours per week.
You're saying Call of Duty is better than sex?
No,
is that what
I mean, game, sport, betting.
Oh, is better than sex?
Online gaming too,
no
though.
No way. That's no way.
They're playing with each other, you know, and playing out
whatever.
Of town.
I just disagree. I remember going skiing with a guy one time. I won't say his name, but we were skiing and we had powder up to our waist. And it was the kind of powder that you couldn't breathe. If you breathed in, you breathed in snow. I mean, it was just rolling up our faces. And he yells out, "This is better than sex." And we all looked at each other. There was about six of us. And we looked at him and we said, "Huh? What are you
he
talking
must have
about?"
Falling on his head. Okay. Now here's listen to this one. All right. In defense of all that, where do kids have to go out? Movies suck. Diners don't exist. Malls suck. Can't do roller skating. I'm 54. We had options. Now it's computers and FaceTime.
Ooh.
That is true.
I can't argue.
Where
with
do
that.
The kids? There is no. You know there aren't. At least in high school, there's no place for them to go.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair statement. I mean, really, if you think about it, I don't know where you go. You can't go to a sporting event. It's too expensive. You can't go to a concert.
Sure
it's
can't.
Too expensive. So where do they go?
And plus, boys don't want to go to a Taylor Swift concert anyway.
That's true. And that's where the Netflix and chill thing came in, right? You come over to my house, watch a movie, and we do whatever we do. But I think even that's gotten to the point now where it's like, what else is there? We need something else. And everything's gone digital. So there's no real, I don't know. I mean, I still go out. I try to get that adrenaline from the downhill mountain biking or a motorcycle ride or a whatever. I try to
listen
get that.
To this. Listen to this guy, this nerd. That makes me mad. What's the problem? I'm going to do it in his voice, probably.
Yeah, that's excellent.
What's the problem? Young men should be focusing on their education and careers until they're in a solid financial position.
I still am not in a solid financial position.
You just got to be normal. You can't do it all. You can't just, you know, it's just life. And this is what no one in this country can understand today.
All right.
Life is about balance. Life is about having your standards, learning right and wrong, learning what isn't.
Yeah.
But it's not about dating all the time. It's not about being a monk. It's about finding that balance between work and family, between everything. It's all about trying to do it with balance.
I agree with you. And I also will add to that, anything in excess is not good for you.
Not good for you, whether it's eating or
right
or doing anything else. I mean, it's just everything is about balance. You can't just drink pond water all the time like
right,
Dad
right,
does.
Right, right.
I think sometime you can have some Gatorade or something else. But you know, but he has pond water.
Okay,
that's all he ever drinks, and that's fine. But again, that's extreme. It's about
balance. Equilibrium. Just
now, sometimes medically you have to do things that that normal people can't do because your body doesn't deal with the sugars, doesn't deal with the salt, doesn't deal with some of these products that was okay when you were 25 or 30.
Yeah, that's definitely.
But it ain't good when you're 60 and 70. Yeah. So I understand, you know, him drinking pond water because he, you know, does, that's just, he, that's his regimen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get it. Sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah.
I didn't drink enough water to poop on for a long time, and now I'm drinking water. I'm drinking now.
This is not an ad in any way, but I drink IM8 by David Beckham and hit some doctor out of the Mayo Clinic because it gives you a bunch of vitamins. But whatever it is that you do, this is when you were saying balance, and here it is, equilibrium, a state in which opposing forces or influences are balanced.
Walk down that railroad track on one rail, mm-hmm. and then if you can do it and don't fall off, you're doing it.
You're doing okay.
And sometimes you fall off, but you get right back up.
Yeah.
And you walk on it again, but you try to keep that balance. What you should try to do in life, and I think we all try to do that. Don't spend too much money, but saving all of it.
That ain't good either.
It's ridiculous, too.
You know,
I hate to tell you, you're not going to take it with you. And the people you leave it to are not going to appreciate it.
Because
they didn't earn it. So, you know.
No, you're right. You're right. There was a famous money guy, and I won't say his name, but he used to say, if you just took that $3, which is now $6 and $7, that you spend a day on a gourmet coffee, right? People spend a lot of money on that. If you just took that money and you put it into a high yield or a CD or a stock market, every time you went to buy the coffee, you would retire with millions of dollars and blah, 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 blah. But I used to think when he would say that, yeah, but I don't get the coffee. I want the coffee. I want some little things that I like, right? I mean, I don't want to save it all till the day I die. I would
now
like
here's
to...
This, we got to quit this. I know we're late now. Here's the last one. Let you think about this one and we'll go. Although the balance thing is how I should have ended it. Well, when I got this. I'm reading more stuff.
I know. You're addicted.
Here we go.
You're addicted.
Men and women will start marrying robots in the not-too-distant future with a zero divorce rate.
Okay. First of all, why would you marry a robot? Just have them as your girlfriend or boyfriend or your whatever.
Well, because they don't talk back to you.
You don't have to marry them. You're not going to get a tax break. Well, maybe you will. I don't know.
I mean, they've got these robots that are going to be pretty, pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think you and I are going to miss out on that. But
I think we're going to miss out on that. But I can understand where some of these people are going.
Yeah. I mean, that is where we're maybe we won't even be involved.
It's back to you read these people. It's perfectly okay not to date in high school. When I was in high school, maybe fewer than 10% of the kids went on dates. I don't know how old you are, but it was 100% of the place.
Yeah. And 100% wanted to go on a date. Maybe 10% did. Yeah, that's interesting. But you're right. And let's end with it. I mean, balance. You've got to live in balance. You can't be excessive one way or the other. If you just keep everything in check, right? Not spinach.
And even the bad bunny rabbit said it right. Something to do with love. But
No. So, are you quoting Bad Bunny?
I don't think I was, but Bunny Rabbit, you know, it's like everything's about balance.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Until next week, we'll just stand here on the balance beam.
That's us.
I'm Derek Walker. He is
Jimmy Carter. Good day.